very graciously taking her place at short notice, and we normally squeeze Charlie in after 8 before Pacific Waves, but we've given him a little bit more time, a bit more of a canvas. Our teenage hack, our digital native, on the line from Nelson. Kia ora, Charlie. Welcome back to Nights.
Good evening, Brian. Thank you for having me.
It's nice to have you on, Charlie. Before we talk about pay as you earn, or actually play as you earn, because you're not paying, you're playing, although maybe you are paying and then earning. But anyway, before I go off on that tangent down that rabbit hole, I've been getting a few questions, texts from people who've, with the vaccine pass. Are you double vaccinated, Charlie?
I am, yes. Okay. I got my second dose a couple of months ago.
Right. So have you got your vaccine pass?
I haven't yet,
you
actually.
Haven't?
I haven't needed it. No.
Well, it's just several people have been writing saying that you save it to your Android phone and then you shut down the phone for some reason, give it a rest or whatever, restart it, and it's disappeared. You know anything about that, Charlie, or is this something which is outside your remit?
Yeah, well, obviously I can't talk in definitives, but not definitives, but my mum also had the same issue, and I did some digging online, and apparently it's quite a common thing that people's passports are just disappearing. And I think it's to do with how they're saved to their phone. Obviously, I'm speculating, but I think it's to do with whether it's an image of the passport or a Google Pay link. Because my mum's was connected to Google Pay, whereas my dad's is a document, and my dad's is still there. My mum's is gone.
Yes.
And a lot of people are complaining about it.
Yeah, and I think, I didn't even know how to save it to Google Pay because I don't really understand Google Pay. I mean, I called it Google Play before. That tells you how much I understand Google Pay. And so I just saved it as a PDF file. And it's a bit more cumbersome, I guess, to get the file up and, you know, zap it at a machine or show it to somebody. But, you know, if it's there, it's there. And in the interim, because I'm so old school, Charlie, I got a piece of paper here with my vaccine pass on it and my name and all that stuff and the little thing that you can use, you know, to show people. So I'm figuring that I'm kind of all right at the moment.
Yeah, I got my mum to screenshot hers, so at least she still has that. And I guess I'd recommend most people just to screenshot this so they have a backup in case it does disappear or whatever's going on with it. So that'd be very simple to do.
So
and then you've just got it always permanently stored.
Yeah, it may not be as easy and quick to get it, but you'll be able to get it nonetheless.
Yeah.
Okay, Charlie. Well, we've sorted that out. But the thing you wanted to talk about was play to earn. Now, I've been thinking a little bit about the fact that my partner and I, we fret and we worry about how much time our son spends on the screen. And he's 11 years old and he just loves getting on the screen to look at either play games himself or to watch other people play games and give a running commentary as they play. And it does occur to me sometimes, much as I might find this something that I struggle with, it is possible that what he's doing is actually going to be skilling him up for whatever he's going to do as an adult. And I thought of this when I saw your topic, Play to Earn, video games and their role in our future. Am I on the same track as you, Charlie?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, depending on what game your son is playing, but a lot of games do involve economy and other management skills, or even just like such as first-person shooters. They would train your reflexes to be more adapt and sharper. So obviously, depending on the game, it would change what skills are being honed. But play to earn focuses more on an economic side of things.
And what are you playing and what are you earning?
So there are a whole load of games out there at the moment. Most of them are fairly new, and a lot of them are quite basic looking games. But I'll use the biggest for an example. So the biggest play to earn game at the moment is called Axie Infinity. And it's a game where it's basically Pokemon, but with 2D things that are built onto the blockchain, so 2D animals. And so you can buy these animal things and battle with them and trade them. And in doing so, you can earn income.
income in dollars or some kind of cyber currency?
For Axie specifically, you would be earning a crypto token called SLP, but it would change depending on what game.
And how could you then use this that you earn to, say, purchase things beyond the cyber world?
So crypto tokens, you can exchange them for New Zealand dollars, for example. So there's a website called Easy Crypto that lets you buy and sell cryptocurrencies for NZD. And so SLP, you could exchange for Ethereum, and then Ethereum, you could sell for real world New Zealand dollars.
Okay, hang on. So SLP is a currency you can earn by playing this game, Axie Infinity, and then you can trade that for another cryptocurrency, which was called?
Ethereum. I'm not sure if Easy Crypto supports SLP, so just for the example, you'd exchange it to Ethereum and then sell that.
To be certain, you need to convert it to Ethereum, which is tradable, and then you can buy New Zealand dollars with Ethereum. I don't suppose you've got any idea of the currency rate at the moment.
For SLP or Ethereum?
Ethereum to dollars. Kiwi.
Ethereum is, I think, about 6,600 New Zealand dollars per ETH.
Per ETH. And in terms
so one
of
one token,
say you do well at Axie Infinity, and you're earning the SLP, which you then trade for an ETH. How a good player might expect to earn how much over what period of time?
A good player, for example, could be earning pretty much minimum wage from playing these games. One example in the Philippines, a lot of people have picked this up specifically over lockdowns, and some people are making more than the Philippines minimum wage, which is a fairly low, relatively low, $17 a day over there. But it's passive income through playing a video game, and this is just one example that's fairly small still.
So if they're earning income, where's that money coming from? Who's paying them when they earn something by winning the game?
For Axie specifically, I'm not 100% sure. I think maybe you would put money in to go into a battle, and then if you win the battle, you would take the winnings, basically, like a pot of winnings.
Okay.
But for other games, it gets more complicated.
Okay, so in Axie Infinity, it might be a case of you still have to pay a bit to play to earn, but you might get back more than you spent to play in the first place, if you're good?
Yeah, well, you have to, with real dollars, buy axes, as they're called, the little in-game animals, with real money. And then using those animals, you can earn income.
What about other games? You were suggesting some others where things might be different. I'm wondering whether sometimes the prize money might come out of the advertising revenue that the game provider might be earning.
A lot of other games are more metaverse-style games, so big expanded universes rather than Axie, which is this little 2D battle game at the moment. Another good example is Star Atlas. Which is, again, isn't actually out yet, but it's a big galaxy. And in that galaxy, you can buy a spaceship with, I think the lowest right now is about $20. And then with that spaceship, you can do different things such as mining ore, building other ships, battling other people. And in doing those activities, you can earn Atlas, which is that game's in-game currency.
Is there a link between this and the thing you talked about last time we were on, NFTs, non-fungible tokens? Those tokens which represent some kind of digital thing, it might be a meme or whatever, that you can take ownership of and then I assume maybe sell for a profit and capital gain later on.
Yes. Well, this is one of the main uses of an NFT. I remember last time you were asking me what is the actual value in this if you can just screenshot it. And these are really good examples. So in Star Atlas, an NFT, you would buy a ship, and that ship would be stored as a non-fungible token. And that would prove that you own the ship and it is your ship. And then you can use that NFT in game to earn Atlas tokens.
It doesn't sound, although it's interesting, but on level, it's not as lucrative as I thought it might be. As you said, some people may be earning the minimum wage, which I guess it depends on how much you enjoy playing video games. You could say, hey, I'm spending all day playing my favorite video games and I'm getting paid for it. The minimum wage, that's great. But I can also think I'm spending all day in front of a computer screen and all I'm getting is the minimum wage. That sounds pretty crap to me.
Well, that's just Axie. Where it gets really exciting is things like Star Atlas. And the reason I bring it up is because Star Atlas, when it comes out, and the dev team is still creating the game, but the economic side of Star Atlas is going to be where a lot of big money is created. So before the game is out, and it's planning to be out, I believe, mid-2022, and there's already something like $300 million of in-game assets that have been bought by players. And so these players can be part of factions, which is your species. And then those factions have companies, basically, that they can work for that are player run. And those companies create bigger incomes that they then spread out between their player base.
Is there a link, Charlie, between this and, you know, and I think we might have discussed this as well in the previous chat with Mr. Zuckerberg and his renaming Facebook Meta. And he spent a lot of time when he made that announcement talking about really creating what it seemed to me was a virtual world where you kind of had all you needed in terms of entertainment and excitement and all the stuff. You were going to just interact with people online virtually. And I'm wondering whether this is the kind of stuff that he's getting ready for, where people will actually go to work by playing these games.
I guess to some extent, although I think Facebook was more focusing on remote offices, so you could interact with the same people you would in an office, but remotely, whereas these games would be video games, but with the money-making aspect added on to them, rather than as a full day job for most people.
Charlie, do you see yourself do you already make a bit of a living playing some of these games, like Axie Infinity?
I don't yet, because most of my computing power is still dedicated to mining. But when Star Atlas comes out, that's one of the games that I'm really excited for. So I'm going to be giving it a go. I don't know whether I'll play it long term, but I'm excited for that to see how I can do.
So Charlie, you are actually already making a bit of money from your computer from data mining, aren't you?
Yeah, well, crypto mining, and that's just running in the background.
Right. And can you just remind me of what that is in about 60 seconds?
So if I were to send you $20 of Ethereum, that transaction would be validated by miners. So I would make sure that I am not making it. Well, a miner would make sure that I'm not making up the Ethereum that I'm sending to you. And if that Ethereum is good and it was part of the blockchain beforehand and it hasn't just been created, it would be sent to you and the miner would take a little bit of the Ethereum.
The crypto mining is, to a large degree, a function of verifying something online, correct?
Yeah. So it's just verifying transactions on the blockchain that it's being directed to.
And you get a tiny cut of that by doing the verification on your computer, providing the grunt power for that.
Yes, although on Ethereum at the moment it's a lot of money, but for other blockchains it's a much smaller amount.
Charlie, I'm also, forgive me for being a pessimist, we were talking about optimism and pessimism yesterday, but I can also see people being employed to work, say somebody has got enough money to start up a kind of like a factory, a lot of people coming in and working computers and doing the mining, and they're paid wages, and the person who owns the computers, and he gets, or she, gets the profits. I can see something like that happening in the Philippines.
Well, all of the profits? Like they're not working for any money?
Yeah, well, so they get a wage, but then the overall profits from all the earning of the various prizes you might win in the game, overall the profits go to the owner. So you see, it's like creating a business model where you've got, instead of each individual winning their earnings, they get paid a wage, but most of the profits go to the person who runs the business.
And there are some different projects that are quite interesting. There's one called Merit Circle, and so Merit Circle is basically a decentralized company, and investors give Merit Circle money, and Merit Circle distributes it to people playing. I think their main game right now is Axie, so I'll just use that as the example. So Merit Circle gives these people some money, and then they buy in-game items and use that to create more money, and then they give that money back to Merit Circle, who then distribute it back to their investors. So is that what you're really...
Yes, that's kind of what I'm thinking. Charlie, it's always amazing talking with you. The one text that you probably find amusing, Brian, this is nonsense. I'm a farmer and produce something real and useful. Food! You've probably got a garden though, haven't you, Charlie?
Only a little one.
Great to talk with you, Charlie. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Brian.